Everybody that can read, I ask that you would open your Bible and turn to this psalm. Everybody that can read, amen. Young and old,
yeah.
I'd like for you to get your Bible. The 100th number of Psalms.
Amen.
If you can't find it, look in the index.
Amen.
We got time. The 100th number of Psalms. We're only going to read one verse at this particular time. That is verse 4. And I'd like for us to read that aloud together. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Amen. Keep your Bibles turned to that passage, if you don't mind. Just a sidebar question. Who do you think this writer is speaking to? That's a question. I need an answer. Who is he speaking to? I need some folk to tell me. I hear a few in the back. Who is he speaking to? I don't care about us and them and we. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. Now, I just need to keep some attention here for a few minutes. And so if I call some names, it's not because they're doing anything wrong. It's that I want to capture their attention. Is that all right? Christiana, who is he speaking to? Huh? He's speaking to you. What did he say? Say it loud. Be thankful. Okay. He says, when you come into his gates, come into them with thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Is that what he's saying to you, Alexis?
Yeah.
James, how about you? What's he saying to you? Huh? What is that? Be thankful. When? When are you to be thankful? When you come into his presence, when you come in to his gates. Margie,
yeah.
What's he saying to you?
Yeah.
And do what? And do what? Say it loud. Okay, say it like you're out in the streets talking to your friends. Bless his name, all right? Okay. That's good. That's good. Because the reason I wanted to ask that question is because I'm almost convinced that most of us don't have our own fire. We have to have somebody else to make us thankful and praise God. We can't do it on our own. If the person sitting next to me doesn't, if the preacher doesn't preach the way I think he ought to preach, I can't be thankful and praise him on my own. I'm beginning to think that we can't get happy by ourselves and praise God unless somebody else light our fire. And good to see Sister Cooper back this morning. And she's been away for a while. Sister Drennan is in the hospital again. Y'all pray for Sister Drennan. She may be back home now, but I haven't heard. But pray for her. Well, listen, for a few minutes, I want us to look at this psalm, and I want to talk about an exhortation to praise and thanksgiving. An exhortation to praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to see who's going to help me out here this morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Psalms are a collection of songs sung by Jewish people. They are songs of experiences of defeat and victory. How many of y'all have been defeated? Anybody here been defeated? Hold your hand up if you've been defeated. You've really been defeated. How many of you been victorious? How do you think you got that victory? You were smart enough, shrewd enough, intelligent enough, strong enough, powerful enough, had enough money. Mother, daddy, brother, sister, cousin, friend got you out of that. No, it wasn't the grace of God. You did it. All by yourself. Isn't that right, Brother Dennis? These are the experiences of people. They had experienced defeat and victory, and they had experiences of sadness and joy, experiences of death and life, sickness and healing, experiences of pain and pleasure. Born out of these experiences are responses. Our text exhorts us from the sum or the totality of all experiences. Whatever our experience may be, we are exalted to praise God and to be thankful. Praise and thanksgiving are good for the soul. You see, when you are sad and when you got the frown and the scowl on your face, if you can just think of his goodness and his kindness and begin to praise him, it makes your soul feel good. I'm going to have some church in here today because physically I don't feel good, but spiritually I feel fine. Praise places us in the position of adoration to God for who he is, and thanksgiving is the expression of our gratitude for who he is. It is because of who God is that his benevolence of good is bestowed upon us. We see this picture in Revelation chapter 4 as the four living creatures praise the Lord and give glory and honor and thanks to him. The 420 elders fall down before him and worship him, singing, "Worthy art thou, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? Because of who he is. Do you know who he is? Can you worship him? Can you give him the glory and the honor and the power simply because of who he is? This songwriter exhorts us to praise the Lord and give thanks to him because of his nature. Because of his nature. You see, our God is holy and majestic. He is Lord. Verse 3 tells us, "It is he that have made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Our praise expresses our adoration for his steadfastness and faithfulness. He is the same yesterday and forever toward all of his creation. His nature allows him to be steadfast in his providential care and faithful in his purposes. You see, the isness of God defines his nature. He is God all by himself. He is eternal. He is holy, he is sovereign, he is great, he is faithful, he is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's immutable. He is God all by himself. God's nature makes him who he is. Because of who he is, his character is gracious. He's loving, compassionate, merciful, kind, patient, and long-suffering. He is good. Not just sometime, but all the time. He can be that way because of who he is. I ought to have somebody here. I need his mercy. I don't know about you. I need his goodness. I need his grace. I need his love and compassion because I'm a rank sinner. Because of who he is. So because of who he is, we ought to enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. If you just look at love, why did he love something like us? Most of us don't love ourselves. God loves us. Look at his grace. We say it's undeserved or unmerited favor. Why would God put his finger on us and bless us? Because of who he is. When I look at Cam, why would I love him? Some of the dirt that he does, this is my godson, I can talk to him that way. Some of his disposition, why would I love him? He can turn around and look at me and say, "Well, why would I love my Godfather?" Why would Sister Deborah love me? I better take it to me. Because I got some ways. And God knows them all. He knows them all. He can do it because of who he is. I need to tell you, God is not threatened or intimidated by anything we can say or do. He's God all by himself. And so we are encouraged, exalted, to praise him and give thanks to him because of his nature. Secondly, our praise should come forth because we want to praise him. Oh, after he's done all that he's done for us. Sometimes because of circumstances, emotionally, we do not feel like praising God. Do I have a witness here today? Sometimes we got our attitudes and our habits on, and we come into his gates, we come into to his church, we come into Zion, and we don't feel like praising him. But if we let our emotions determine our praise, we'll come short of many of the good things God has for us. So often I've heard people say they stayed away from church because some situation had put them on an emotional roller coaster. They were in a bad mood. But I'm reminded of the songwriter of the 27th Psalm that in the midst of his enemies, you know what he said? He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple." The songwriter of the 73rd number of Psalms, wrestling with the seeming prosperity of the wicked and the struggles of those with the clean heart, said he almost fell until he went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood he therein. I tell you what, when you are down, when you are on an emotional roller coaster, the thing you ought to do is just try to make your way into God's house. Try to make your way into God's presence and forget about that stuff that's going on. You can just make it to God. He'll lift you up out of your circumstances. When circumstances are causing your emotions to bounce all over the place, make your way to church and determine that through it all, you're going to praise the Lord anyhow, knowing that the Lord truly is good to you and that God is going to make a cake, a pie, a cobbler, or some cookies. God is making something good out of this stuff you're going through. His word says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I tell you, the baking powder may not taste good by itself. The flour may be tasteless. But I tell you what, you put it all together. You put a little sugar in it, a little vanilla in it, a little egg in it, stir it up, and you got something that tastes good. God is working things out to be for your good. I wish you were in Sunday school this morning and you could hear how Paul went through all of that stuff. But through it all, he wrote those words that he knew that God was working everything out to our good. You may not know how he's going to do it. You may not know when he's going to do it, but you do know he's going to work it to your good. So right now, you just wait on him and praise him. The sun may not always shine brightly on us, but we can still praise and thank God. Paul says to us in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." And in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Rejoice forevermore." We are not told to always be grateful, but we are commanded to give thanks and to praise God always. Psalms 34 and 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." No matter what's going on in the circumstances of our lives and the state of our feelings, it does not alter God's presence with us, nor his divine nature. We ought to praise God, for who he is, because of his nature. We ought to praise him just because we want to, because he's been so good to us. Well, what are some things that should cause praise and thanksgiving to flow from our soul. When we remember and recollect who God is, His nature, His character, His creative power, His presence with us, His steadfast love, His abundant mercy, His grace, His saving grace, His sustaining grace, His amazing grace, it will bring praise to our lips. When we recount where the Lord has brought us from and what He has done for us and what He has in store for you, praise ushers forth. You remember the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, about 10 lepers that met Jesus and sought healing for their terrible diseases. All 10 were cleansed, but only one was thoughtful enough to return and say thank you. This one leper, because he came back, received even more blessings. He received full communion with the Lord through faith. Failure to offer thanks can hinder and stop the flow of blessings to you. Remember who bought you and who brought to you where you are, and praise should also gush forth up from your soul as we reflect and meditate on God's word. You see, meditating on scripture can swell up expressions of praise. Put yourself in the place of the author and enter into his experience of deliverance and joy and spiritual blessings. Don't you remember when the Lord delivered you? Don't you remember how the Lord blessed you? Don't you remember the joy that the Lord put in your soul? Praise and thanksgiving ought to erupt as you relate what God has done for you, and you think of his goodness to you. As we think about the goodness of God and his mercy that is everlasting, a joyful song bubbles up in our whole being. It is a song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. You see, Christ has put a new song in the heart of the redeemed. It is a song written long ago, but it is new because in Christ we are new, and we praise God from whom all blessings flow. So that song says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Come on now and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'm of the new generation that know the Lord is good. Matter of fact, I've come to know that everything good that happened to me, God did it. I tell you, he woke me up this morning. Everything good that happened to me, I tell you, God did it. He put food on my table. I tell you, everything that happened to me, it was God that did it. He put clothes on my back. Everything good that happened to me, God did it. When I was sick, he healed me. Everything God that good happened to me,
God did it. He put shelter over my head. I ought to have a witness in a day. I know you're waiting on somebody to shout and preach you happy. But has God did anything good for you? If he's done something good for you, you ought to praise him and give him some glory. I tell you, young folk, y'all sit around unless he's 19 and he's hip-hopping. You think you can't praise God, but who put the clothes on your back? Who gave you a mama and daddy that bought you some clothes? If your mama and daddy bought you some clothes and you got clothes on your back, you ought to know that God did it. He did you good, and you ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some thanks, because everything good that happened to you, God did it. You don't have to wait on somebody else to praise him. It's not age related. You can be young, you can be middle-aged, you can be old, but everything good that happened to you, God did it. Ought to have a witness in a day. I got folks sleep on me right now. They don't know that they can sleep in church because God is good to them. They don't know that they got a little health. They feel good right now because God let them feel good. Everything good that happened to me, I don't need to have nobody else. I'll go back here and I can have church by myself. Everything good that happened to me, I tell you, God did it. He woke me up this morning. He let me live this long. It hadn't been a whole lot of years. I'm just a little above 60, but God did it. I could have been dead and in my grave, but God let me stay around just a little while longer. Everything good, I tell you, that happened to me, God did it. Isn't God good? Anybody here know God's good? Do you still have a job? You got a little money in your pocket. You paid your electric bill. You paid your gas bill. Your cupboard is full of food. You had turkey and ham for Thanksgiving. I tell you, God did it. God fixed it. Isn't God good? I don't know about you, but God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I can't help but praise him. I can't help but praise him. I can tell you, I was about Marge's age. We used to play train. We grab hold of everybody's hand. And we played blind man's bluff on that train. And one would be leading the train, 10 or 15 children in that train. Long time ago, they used to let you put barbed wire up around your house. And they had that train going around the house. And that train picked up speed and it was spinning. And I was on the end. And that train spent me right into that barbed wire fence. You see this scar that I got in this eye? You see the one under here? It came from barbed wire. Don't ask me. That barbed wire had barbs all up and down. But God fixed it where that wire just came here. It missed both eyes and right here. Everything good, I tell you, that happened to me, God did it. I tell you, I haven't always been what I am now. I'm not that much now, but I can remember going to a party on the south side one night, and I was back in the back with everybody else, and one of the friends of mine, girl, came up, and she told me, she said, Maurice, you better get off from back here, because they say they're going to hook you up tonight. And I got a little nervous, and she walked me up, and I got in Garden Jones' car. He was the driver, and all of my friends start laughing at me, saying, "You scared, uh-huh, you scared." But I stayed in the car, and they went back to the party, and no sooner than they got back, they come running from out of the party. They jumped in the car, and we were flying down the street, and I looked back, and they had chains and knives and bats. And they were coming after, and on the south side, the streets are real narrow. And we were going down the street, and they started shooting at us. Bam, bam. And a car was meeting us, and you couldn't duck in because there was cars lining both sides of the street. And just as we got to that car turned, and he went up into a driveway, and we went by, and it was a 1952 Ford that was black and white with a little hoop on the top of it. It was the Fort Worth Police Department. That's what they drove then. And the police department pulled back out, and they went on down to the party, and they let us go, but we could have been dead, is all I'm trying to tell you. And in my grave, I'm not telling you the real juicy stuff. I'm just telling you some of the stuff. You know, most of y'all have been there too. You sitting up in here, with your little dress on now. You've even bought the hem down a little bit. You're looking cute and sophisticated. Men got their ties on, and they sit back now, and they don't have any emotions, any feelings, but it's because they've forgotten how many times they were on the road drunk, driving, and they made it home without hitting anybody or running over anything or killing themselves. I tell you, everything good, I didn't deserve it. I tell you, everything good, I didn't deserve it. Everything good, I didn't deserve it. Everything good that happened to me, God did it. And I ought to have a witness here today. Some of y'all have been sick on your deathbed almost, and the doctors shaking their head, didn't know what to do. And they came back in 2 or 3 hours later because the Lord worked on their brains, and they said, "I'm going to try something." And they tried it, and it healed you. I tell you, everything good that happened to you, God did it.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
All right. I need to tell you, I told you one of those things was bothering me. If you've been saved, you got a fire. The Holy Spirit took up residence in you. And I tell you what, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you can't help but praise God. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to sit and look. Like some of you are looking. And it doesn't make any difference if you're young or old. I can remember stuff that Reverend Burton talked about. The songs they sung, some of the things that they did, because the Holy Spirit was moving in me. I didn't have enough life experiences to run like Sister Sally Brinson, but I could be attentive. You ought to have your own fire.
Amen.
Did God save you? How many of you God saved? Now, some of y'all he didn't save. Because some of you all don't have no Holy Spirit in you. I can tell. If he saved you, you can't sit still all the time. Once a blue moon. Every now and then. You are going to have to move.
Amen.
The psalmist exhorts us to praise and thanksgiving to God. Preeminently because of who he is. That's where it starts. When you know who he is. And I'm through, Sister Ritz, Sister Wilson. When you know who he is. When you know who he is. I mean, you got to really know who he is. You know, mama can tell you, and I can stand up here and tell you, God is God. He's holy, but until you get to know who he is, you can't really give him praise and thanksgiving.
All right.
If you're here and you don't know who God is, you can get to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. God has sent his son into the world to do what you could not do. He came and he died and he took your place on the cross where he died for your sins. You could not pay for your sins. You could not earn your way into God's favor. But God's son has opened the door. When he died and when he rose from the grave, a way is made for us to return to God and get to know him. If you're here as the invitation is being rendered, we invite you to come. You don't know what you're missing. If you're just playing like you're saved, you don't know what you are missing. Ask yourself, have I really invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me? Have you really asked him? Have you surrendered your life to him? If you haven't, why don't you surrender your life to him today? Why don't you come?